Hey everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you know to sign up for our mailing list to be the first to know about our summer tour. We're doing a big live show in July. You can find out all about the tickets at hdtgminfo.com. That's hdtgminfo.com. It's a big, big space, so you'll definitely get tickets. Tickets are still available. Fly in, come see us, and make sure you sign up for our mailing list to not miss out on our announcements about June and September, we're hitting the West and East Coast. All right, people, today's episode is brought to you by a company that knows how to turn your ideas into a reality. That's right, Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy for you to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling products of any kind, with a beautiful templates and the ability to customize about anything. You can easily make a website yourself in minutes. How do I know? Because I did it 3 times. Yeah, you know it. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Show's also brought to you by Query with Cameron Esposito. So Cameron is great. She was on this show. She talked about the Village People movie with us. Such a funny person, and she's been doing this great new podcast called Query, which is basically an hour-long conversation between her and some of the brightest luminaries in the LGBTQ family. I mean, Query explores individual stories of identity, personality, and shifting cultural matrix around gender, sexuality, and civil rights. Past guests have included Lena Waithe, Alexandra Billings, Congressman Mark Takano, the L-Word creator Eileen Chaikin, President and CEO of GLAAD, Sarah Kate Ellis, and more. She's talking to people on the front line, making policy, and people who are living a life. It's one of the best podcasts I've listened to. You think you may know, but you don't know. Query's here to show you more. It's identity, it's community, it's Query. Find Query every Monday on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now, to the show.
She's been burned to death by a jealous ex-boyfriend, and now she's out to get revenge on a lot of people that frankly had really nothing to do with it. But that's okay. She may not be the hero we want, but she's the hero we need. We saw Hello Mary Lou, Prom Night 2, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while ripping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado the Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you: how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and hello, people of Largo. We are here in our Los Angeles home. In Los Angeles, California, the Largo at the Coronet Theater. It's such a great place to perform, and it's a great night to talk about a classic film, Hello Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. Holy shit. To catch you up, if you've not seen this movie, in the 50s, a young girl is just about to be given her title of prom queen when a jealous ex-boyfriend burns her alive with a stink bomb. Cut to 1987, she comes back from the dead-ish, questionable, we'll get into it, and exacts revenge on everyone just at that high school and some of the people who, weirdly, are still at that high school from when she was there. It's a big old mess, but it's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. Here to break it down with me, my co-host, please welcome Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
What's up, Jason?
How we doing, everybody? I'm gonna be serious right now, dead serious. I love this movie. This movie's got it all.
I literally
50s,
wrote down
80s, boobs, butts, Michael Ironside. This movie's got everything. You know what this movie has none of?
What?
Exposition.
You don't need it. It's like Empire Strikes Back.
Nobody ever says, you know what I think might be happening? Nobody ever says, I've figured it out. This is what we need to do. The events of the movie just unfold.
Like Avengers Infinity War, if you have not been there for the first 10, why bother now? Jason, what I will say about this movie is every actor is going for
hard.
And I don't mind it.
Going for it hard.
I like it.
Every person in this movie is maybe the greatest actor of their generation. So many of these people I've never heard of again, and yet here they are doing unbelievable work.
And there's no better person to break down this tale than my other co-host. She is in a movie that is coming out. It's called Long Shot. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great.
June, when I told you it was a scary movie, your reaction was simply, oh, fuck.
Yes, and I was scared at points, but I have to say, I also rather enjoyed this motion picture. That woman is truly a star.
Okay.
This is Vicky. We're talking about
Vicky. She's a star.
That's what I'm saying. Never before have I seen such great work. And by the way, life-size rocking horse in your room.
Look. But I kept on waiting for it to be revealed that she was like a horse girl. Like one of those girls who loves horses. Yeah. No.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think she is.
No. By the way, the size of that is revealed late in the movie, I felt like.
But she doesn't ride. She's not a rider. She's not an equestrian.
Oh, no. We don't know that.
Well,
this
okay,
is a
right.
masturbation device. We understand this
so
to
this
be a masturbation
a
device,
sex
right?
Toy.
When her father comes in and she's like, this whole movie's an allegory for sexual awakening, is it not? Isn't this the scene where she then, like, stone cold tongue kisses her dad?
Yep. Who doesn't protest
who is into it? He's legit into it.
We'll get into it. We have so much to talk about. And we felt like we needed to bring someone who had been on this podcast before, someone who understands, you know, the care that needs to be taken with a movie like this. Also from the movie Long Shot, please welcome Seth Rogen. Welcome. Welcome back, Seth.
Thank you. You are
in the rare air. You're a three-timer here on How Did This Get Made.
Wow. Yes. I assume it's because this is a Canadian film that I was invited here. I have special insights
now,
into it.
Well, as long as we have a Canadian on the panel, we can say fucking anything.
You can
say anything.
We hear you, Jason, just so you know. We hear you.
Canada not happy about some of the things I said in that Little Italy episode.
We got a lot of feedback about that episode.
A lot of fired up Canadians.
There is a real Little Italy in Canada.
Are you stupid? You don't understand Little Italy can exist anywhere?
And they do have those New York accents.
Are you crazy? Are you so American-centric that you don't even understand that you said it was both in Vancouver and Toronto multiple times? Those are different cities, Jason.
Hayden Christensen is as Italian as Roberto Benigni.
Am I crazy or is Jason a straight-up snack?
Well,
that one was from a different thing.
Seth, not that you would know all Canadian actors, but was there anyone here that you recognize?
There actually is. the woman who played Mary, old-timey, original Mary Lou, was on.
Well, you say original. There's only one.
Well,
Mary
I know, but then she kind of embodies the young lady.
But she's always Mary Lou.
She's Mary. But there, we could get into it. But I would argue Mary Lou is represented by two actors at two various points of the movie. But I think that there was a Canadian show, and what's funny is I googled it because I both remembered it as being called Sweating Bullets, and I also remember it being called Tropical Heat, and then I googled it, and for the information information I found is that for some reason it was called at various times both sweating bullets and tropical heat.
What? Well, yeah. It's interesting you say that because this movie was called Hamilton High until the very end. It was like, this is made as Hamilton High, was not supposed to be a sequel, and we'll get into all that in a little bit, but this is not made as a sequel film.
They 10 Cloverfield Lane this fucking shit.
They're retconning everything. All right, well, you notice we have an extra seat here tonight, and that is because there's so much to talk about. We needed an extra person. Also, from the movie Long Shot, please welcome Charlize Theron.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Wow. Thanks. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I have seen hardcore porn with less horniness than this movie.
It's a horny movie. A horny movie.
Everybody's horny in this movie.
Everybody wants to fuck a wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or their child. Yeah.
Or a
party. Child.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or a
It's insane.
Well, I mean, this is like the question I had right off the bat. Like, when you introduce this character of Vicky, is she a good girl? Is she a bad girl? I don't even know, because she seemingly, before she's possessed, we don't know what she's like. She seems like she
does. Her parents are weird.
Yes. They're a little, they're definitely.
Oh, by the way, so now that we know what we know about her dad, I think it explains a lot about her mom. Because knowing her dad so willingly tongued her at just the drop of a hat, like, no questions asked,
yeah, I mean,
engaging.
She makes
I'm
the
engaging.
Move,
but he never stops and he engages.
He leans in.
So looking back
and
on it
and enjoys it.
All,
enjoys
and
the hell
savors
out of it.
It afterwards.
Once more.
In a movie full of crazy shit. That, and they, like, the they didn't seem to even think it was the craziest part of the movie as the people who made the movie.
The mother saw it. The mother saw it. And her whole thing was, you can't go to the prom.
Yeah.
What? Meanwhile, the dad was like, I just want to taste the last little bit that's left on my lips.
Terrible.
They're a bad family.
But I do think that mother was just trying to desexualize her daughter to keep that dad away from her.
Listen, we all know Canadian dads love to tongue kiss their daughters.
Everybody knows it.
It's a fact.
Yeah. That's just
look it up.
Just
Vancouver,
Canada.
That's
what they're doing. Little Italy, Canada. In Toronto, Coover, you fucks.
That is by far the most fucked up thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
It's so fucked up. It's called Saskatchewan Goodnight in Canada.
The movie opens up in 1957 or somewhere around that time. And Mary Lou, we are introduced to Mary Lou. And
Mary Lou Maloney.
Mary Lou Maloney.
Yeah.
Maloney.
That's a cool name.
She is
a firecracker.
Yeah. I can't quite figure out because she seems to be going to the prom with this man with a receding hairline who looks like he's mid-30s in high school. Why not just cast Michael Ironside? Like, why did you even go through the process? Like, yeah, it's the same guy.
I felt like they cast somebody with a receding hairline so that people, when it went and turned into Michael Ironside, people would be like, well, of course, that's it. But who cares?
In the
intervening years, he lost his hair. He could just be a high school kid. You don't need like a 30-year-old playing a high school kid just because he has the same receding hairline.
And Mary Lou is going to, she basically leaves her boyfriend or her boyfriend goes to get punched. And then she starts hardcore making out with this guy
when she grabs his dick, dry
humping
while just drinking.
Yeah. Like. Oh yeah. That that like doing shots out of a bottle of vodka while dry humping is the hardest dry humping I've ever seen. I was like, wow, that's Canadian.
I was impressed. I feel like you have to like You get there in your 40s. Like,
right, yeah.
Not in your like early... like
the, at 17, you should be that hard.
You have to learn
hard.
How to control your shit, but he's like fucking just going and drinking and talking, and it's like...
She was amazing, though. I agree. Yeah. The performances in this movie across the board Oscar were worthy. Fantastic.
Well, the cold open where she's in confession and is saying, you know... Because Vicky's confession is also very good. The recurring confessional scenes were all really good, but the first one where Mary Lou is like giving her confession and it turns from like the confession of like I did this and I did that, and she just goes, what did she say?
I disobeyed my parents many times. I've taken the Lord's name in vain many times. I've had sinful relations with boys at my school, many boys, many times.
My child, these are great sins. You must prepare yourself for the consequences.
Father, there is one more thing.
What is it, my poor child?
And I liked it.
And I liked it all. And then you reverse on her and she's written her phone number in the confession booth. I was like, this is the greatest movie we've ever done.
Yeah, no, I was like...
I called that number, and...
Yeah. By the way, you're Jason, that number...
I am very seriously dating Mary Lou.
That number is actually the number of the screenwriter of the film.
No!
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it still works, but it was.
There's one way to find out.
Call that guy.
Canadians never change their number. It's a thing...
Everyone's still on landlines.
Exactly. He's like, this is going to be great. People are going to call me and tell me how much they loved my movie.
I mean, this movie... All right, so yeah, it opens with her, and the boyfriend's so jealous that he grabs an abandoned stink bomb.
This looks like a giant joint.
I don't even understand... I mean, I didn't think stink bombs were... It looked way more destructive than it needed to be. Yeah.
And also, why do those guys abandon it? Like,
that's
they obviously have a plan.
So they want to set up a stink bomb.
That older guy.
Oh, yeah,
I think
principal.
They were setting up. He was kind of coming in.
Oh, so you think they got spooked by that guy.
I think so. Okay. But let's just... Can we just for a second talk about that bathroom?
It's sure.
The grossest bathroom I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, they didn't need a stink bomb.
No, no, no. Yeah, it is fucking disgusting. There is... shit everywhere.
There was?
And this is the 50s. It should have been clean at this point.
No, but this is 50s Canada.
Yeah. Things were bad.
I don't think they had plumbing then.
No, yeah. You did the New Brunswick hover where you had your ass 3 feet above the toilet and just shat towards it.
You guys just had the like holes in the floor and just treads.
Yeah, exactly.
We had those in Africa.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Wait, so you guys noticed it though, right?
It was dirty.
When he runs out, he's like climbing over shit on the floor.
It looked like it looked like the bathroom had flooded already, and it was
disgusting.
Because this movie goes back and forth between like this horror world of the high school and a real world of the high school, and that looked like the horror world of the high school before we were introduced to it. And I feel like they ran out of money. Like, fuck it, we'll just shoot it in the one that we have.
Did anybody else feel like Stranger Things ripped off the
whole? There was like an upside down.
Was basically the same as the upside down.
It was
like the same set, just with like stuff like hanging around on
it's
it. Like
kind of creepy, a little bit
creepier, grosser.
Did you guys think it looked like the music video for Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Because
I think it might be the same school.
Well, that music video was filmed in Edmonton, Alberta, then it was the same school.
It fucking looks
that would be
exactly
amazing.
Like that music video.
That building was featured
minus
a lot.
Minus the ninjas and the fencing boys.
Yeah.
By the way, if we're talking about the bathroom this much...
By the way, I would have loved it if
we're not even into any part of this movie, this almost two-hour film.
It was long.
It was. Because at one point I looked, I was like, how is there 40 more minutes to this?
But slow burn.
That moment when the principal comes in and kind of looks at him, they shared a moment, didn't they? I felt like there was I don't know what was there, but I felt like the principal
Wait,
was
him
like,
and Billy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're peers. They're the same age.
He's like, you got away with it.
It's weird
how we grew up together, and I'm the principal, and you're still a student. He's like, that's fucked up. Sorry.
You're enjoying the prom, Bill? And he's like, not really. And he's like, yep, these things suck. Yeah. And it's like, we're both the same age. What should we do? You know?
Want to get a beer?
Maybe they both auditioned for the principal role. And they
just, he was mad.
They're like, fuck it, just give it to him. No,
everybody who auditioned got a part.
Yeah. The music in the movie was good. It was like expensive. Yeah. No,
I was shocked music. That they had real songs.
They had real music.
So
Canadian clearance laws, very different.
Stink bomb is dropped a little too closely. Stink bomb, by the way, looks like TNT and C4 or something. It's dropped a little too closely to Mary Lou. Her prom dress, obviously, we know, goes up. It's ignitable. I mean, we all know.
Wait
prom
a second, but he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Do you think he was trying to kill her?
He was just going to stink her.
I think he was trying to stink bomb her.
Oh, yeah. I read it very differently.
Whoa.
Tell us.
Wait, you felt like he was trying to kill her?
Yes.
No,
you thought he found the stink bomb and was like, I'm going to kill her with this stink bomb.
I think it was supposed to be like the blood in Carrie.
Yes,
you know?
Of course. But I think he was trying... Listen. It was a crazy thing. Whether he was trying to kill her or not, it was an insane thing to do.
Yeah.
It was an absolutely insane thing to
do. June, he just walked in on her... putting her hand up some guy's ass in the middle of the backstage.
He said she'd gone farther with that kid already than they'd ever gone before.
Yeah, but let me ask you, maybe I don't know enough about stink bombs, but...
90% dynamite.
Yeah, what do you need to know?
Okay, here's what I don't know about them. Do you light them?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Wait, more questions. Do they explode?
Yes. Okay.
Do they smell?
This is a genuine question.
What do they smell of?
Like they're sticky.
I have never seen, you know, I'm not afraid to admit this. I've never seen a stink bomb.
Whoa.
This is my first exposure to one.
That's going to be the pull quote from this episode, June. Forget it.
Wow, I guess the 1%
bomb.
Never sees a stink bomb.
All I know.
Oh, hello.
What a luxury for
exactly.
You, June.
You didn't grow up in a stink bomb place.
All I know is
me?
This...
I was surrounded by stink bombs. You know how I woke up every morning? My mom lit a stink bomb in the closet that I lived in.
All I know
my house burned down
this...
because of a stink bomb.
My dad was a stink bomb driver. The whole house stunk of stink bombs. But I get it. You've never seen a
never
stink
seen
bomb.
Never seen one. Again, I'll put myself out there and say it. I haven't. I didn't know.
Save
what it
this
was.
Confession for Mark Maron, June. So, the wrong podcast to start revealing your shit.
As someone who,
so I heard you've never seen a stink bomb.
As someone who had never seen a stink bomb before, all I saw was a grown man, an adult, light up some sort of contraption and throw it at a woman. That's what I saw with my eyes.
That's
so
right.
I agree.
Yeah.
I
it
only
seemed very
got
violent.
It. I only got it when they cut to his reaction.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
of surprise.
He definitely looked like
okay.
A grown man who didn't mean to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But
he's like, I'm 40. I should know better.
I've been in this situation weirdly several times over my long life.
Oh wait a minute. I could be tried as an adult because I'm an adult. I should intercede if I can.
I think he meant to throw a lit object at her.
Right.
I thought what he was surprised about was that it lit a flame so quickly. I think he
wanted
meant
it to be savored a little bit.
Polyester in the 50s was dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe that's why she was drinking so much in the beginning. So she was drinking that vodka got on her dress. That's flammable. Yeah. And she went
herself
up.
Was yeah. Flammable.
She became a Molotov cocktail.
A lot of clothing.
Crazy fire.
A lot of clothing in the 50s had kerosene threads sewn into it.
Well, the clothing is the villain in the movie for
agreed.
A large portion.
There is a killer. There is a cape that is a killer and better cape work than Doctor Strange, I think.
Also, gloves. The gloves are getting a lot of work.
I kept writing. The villain is clothing.
Yeah.
But by the way,
and the main base of the villains are a trunk.
Yes. What was the trunk about?
I don't know.
That's where I wanted exposition.
It's where the evil clothing kept coming.
Well,
from.
Okay. First of all, Billy. Okay, so Billy kills Mary Sue.
Mary Lou.
Sorry,
Mary
sorry.
Lou.
Billy kills Mary Lou. Sorry, sorry.
Jason.
Okay, sorry. Really?
That's it.
about this movie. Get it right.
I guess I'm off the podcast?
You're out of here, kid.
So Billy...
Show some respect.
Billy murders her in front of everybody.
Yes, yeah. That's what
and
I saw.
And all that happens is everybody kind of turns around. Nobody tries to throw a blanket on her. Nobody does anything, right?
It's a slow death as well.
It is brutal.
It's well directed.
That boy who did that is then cut to the principal of the school.
Yeah.
How is he not in prison?
That was his penance. You can't leave. Now you just gotta go
but
to the...
Why? How is he not, like, in jail? How is he not arrested immediately after this?
I don't think anyone knew.
What are the Canadian laws vis-a-vis murder?
In Canada, if a stink bomb explodes a lady, it's fine.
By the way, that stunt was the longest running fire stunt ever performed.
It was amazing.
Look at them.
In real life.
They do nothing. People don't know CPR.
It does look like a young Michael Ironside now that you're really...
They do nothing.
The same thing happens when Vicky gets shot.
She stands there for 20 minutes. Yeah.
Her boyfriend is.
Look at this.
Her real boyfriend is.
And that
like,
guy
no.
is just hitting a step.
He's like, he's mourning her death before she's dead.
This is.
He's like, no. I'm still burning, motherfucker.
Like, instead of,
you have a chance to stop this. Yeah.
The movie,
by the way, nobody even tries.
No one cared at all.
No, well, they're all having like history
on
it.
Like, again, she has to die for
the
story.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But they don't even try.
She wasn't nice. The way she waved was very dynamic, I found.
So, I guess my question is the trunk telling us this story? Because it's like an opening narration. The trunk's like, and that's my story.
And it's like a storybook. Anderson movie. I kept writing, what is the chest or trunk?
Yes.
I kept saying, what is this thing?
And also, why are the items that were on the murdered girl's body
in there
in the trunk in the high school?
And
they should be in an evidence locker for an unsolved murder, apparently, because the perpetrator of it is the high school principal.
But did she wear the cape when she was burning?
No.
She never gets it on. That's true. Yeah.
So it's just a dress, and right?
But if she's not wearing the cape, how is the cape possessed?
No, she's not wearing
it.
It's not like part of her.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a crucial detail that the two things that she never wore or touched are the things that act out as the...
Because
are those the killer things? Okay.
I have a theory too. Go.
Okay, she was waiting to get those on her body.
She already won it.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Which makes it hers.
Yes. Oh. So she has come back to reclaim those items.
Got it.
And the tiara, the gloves, the robe.
Yes, so they are her in a sense.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so once you win it, it's like a wand in Harry Potter. If you... duel
That's
someone
exactly
and you
how it
and you get their wand away from them, that wand will respond to you now. So I get it. That's what we're going to go with
that's
going
what we're
forward.
Dealing with. Yeah.
Yep. Hey everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsor. So we all know that finding the perfect vacation home is hard. If you've ever been in charge of running a bachelorette weekend, a bachelor party, a family reunion, whatever you want to do, you have to find a place that's not a hotel. Why? Because hotels are expensive. But when you rent a house, you get all the amenities that you want and you get a little personal touch. And Vrbo knows that this is a problem that you all have. How do you find the right one? And Vrbo is here to help. They're doing all the hard work for you. They're matching you to the perfect place to stay for you. There are different types of people out there, different wants, different needs, and Vrbo is going to examine who you are and take your needs and find you the perfect place to stay. I'm talking about condos, cabins, villas, castles. Wherever you want to go, Vrbo is there to take you. Whatever your budget, whatever you want from home, maybe it's like a private pool or a place that's totally kid-friendly, they will help you. Vrbo is the app that's easy and convenient to use. Just go to the App Store and download Vrbo, which is V-R-B-O. Just put in V-R-B-O, and you'll put an end to frustrating vacation searches, and you'll be so much happier that you did. Everyone will be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so booked the best vacation. So get them compliments, people. Get them good. Head to Vrbo, that's V-R-B-O, to find a home that matches you. Our show is also brought to you by our friends at Squarespace. Why Squarespace? Because we love Squarespace. Why do we love Squarespace? Because it's easy to design a website. They take the power out of the designer's hands and put the power in your hands. Because Who better to know how to architect your worldview than you? You don't have to explain it to anybody else. You build your website. You use their templates. They have 24/7 customer support available whenever you need it. They will make your dream into a reality. Plus, they have this powerful e-commerce thing. You can sell shit. You can have real-time analytics coming into your site. There's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. Buying domains is even easy. It empowers millions of people, from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, even restaurants and gyms. They all have turned their idea into something real. They've all given themselves a footprint on the information superhighway. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Offer code, you guessed it, bonkers.
Now, so the guy who starts mourning her very quickly and moving beyond her death.
Yeah, the boyfriend.
He into goes the through this, all the stages of grief.
Before she was done burning.
Oh, still burning. Still burning.
Guess but it's time to start over.
Oh, my girlfriend. I'm still burning. No, yeah. No.
Does he turn to God because that was the... What does he turn to God because he knows that guy killed... He knows Billy killed her?
I believe so.
I had that question too, June. I didn't get that. For the longest time, I was like, who is this fucking guy? And why are they in cahoots? Like,
well, yeah.
No idea.
They seem to care deeply for one another.
But who is he, Seth?
He is, I slowly thought, was the other guy.
He is, yeah.
But it makes no sense that they would like each other.
But before he's hitting the step...
Yeah.
Who was he in the movie?
Oh, he's the guy she was having sex with.
Yeah. Oh,
dry humping with
him. Backstage.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, she was one of these guys' girlfriends. She fucks the other guy. Girlfriend she is explodes her. They form some friendship bond.
By the way, they get to be friends.
Yeah, I mean, but
they get to be friends. We murdered someone together. We're, I guess, bonding.
No. Do not put the boyfriend in. The boyfriend did nothing wrong. Not the boyfriend. Not the stink bomb guy.
The priest guy.
He did nothing wrong. He was just waiting for her to get the thing.
He didn't put her out.
Yeah, he didn't beat it. Oh yeah, yes, he didn't put her out.
He could have interceded.
He literally runs over to her with his coat jacket and then
coat jacket.
His blazer.
His blazer coat jacket.
His blazer coat jacket.
His blazer coat jacket. And then takes a moment, looks at her.
And he's got his pants. Wait, is that the guy with the pants slacks on?
Are you in the 40s?
Oh, scram, you guys. Just scram.
But wait, now here's the question that I had, and I think maybe I just wanted to get a little more backstory about Michael Ironside, because clearly he got married. He had a kid.
Yep.
What happened to that wife? And did he ever really love her?
He killed her as well.
Maybe that's prom one. Has anyone here seen prom one?
Well... You know what? It's interesting that you bring that up. These movies are... This is a two of four. Yeah, they're four prom night films. The only... Does anyone want to take a guess? There's one thing that connects all of them.
The chest, the trunk.
No. You guys don't guess. They'll let them guess, because you may know the answer. Anyone else? Anyone guess?
A prom?
That...
God damn it, Charlize.
I'm just guessing.
Is it that school?
Okay, interesting. These are all good things. Hmm. It's Brock Simpson, the guy who does the whole potato radio thing.
What? No. It was a guacamole radio.
Whoa. Guacamole radio.
What?
Yes.
Nature's perfect vegetable, rich in AM, FM, and carbohydrates.
Gosh, please. I'm sure Einstein didn't take this much time.
Mr. Craven, this moment will be inserted into the annals of scientific history. And I think we all know how painful that can be.
Is he the moose of this series?
He, the same character. He so when he gets fried by the computer.
He
I guess does not die. I have not seen all four. And he comes back. So he's the only piece of
connective tissue. Isn't he in the sarcophagus at the end of the movie?
He's in all four.
That's amazing.
That's the only thing that connects these four
films.
That's
the stupidest answer possible.
Josh, good old Josh.
Or is it? Guacamole Radio. I wrote down Guacamole Radio when you said it.
I was like, why are they giving this guy so much airtime?
A lot of airtime.
And I was
in every movie, is he looking for a date for the prom?
Can I ask you?
I imagine he's getting older, and that actually makes it more upsetting.
Paul, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Paul, what is the span of time over which these four movies exist?
Well,
like, how old is he at the end of this series?
I will tell you right
you don't
now.
Have to, if you don't have it handy, that's okay. But I'm picturing him being like a 37-year-old dude being like, guys, we got to get out of here. This is crazy. This prom's out of control. And okay. He still has like all the burns from when the computer.
Like having his Einstein poster.
His eyes said, "Me and you, Einstein." He tries to hack into prom.
Did anyone understand how they were tallying the prom votes?
Through fellatio.
Like if you're a prom attendee, how do you vote on a?
I
on
assume
a computer?
Like how you voted on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Gotcha.
By the way, that computer was the best. Computer work. Normally, like in these movies, it's like an advanced computer. That looked like print shop 1986. Yeah. Like there was nothing advanced about anything there.
No, he
there.
Just that had was... like an Apple computer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like that they didn't go all out on that.
And then she kills him with the computer. What the fuck was her power? What could and could not she do?
But she's not even in the same room. She's like that guy in that movie, like Shocker. Like yeah. She can just go through outlets and find any outlet in town.
She can do anything.
Rules are not set up very well.
There is no explanation.
I felt really. My favorite character. There's so much in here. My favorite character was the woman with Robert Smith from The Cure's hair. She's my favorite character.
The girl who was making the giant
hand.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, that giant hand then later comes out of Vicky's chest.
Yeah.
But my whole question was, why is it this movie about her?
Yes, I said this.
Such
same
a better
thing.
Movie. She's
by the way,
pregnant. She's like, she's yeah. Go ahead.
The scene in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I wanted to give her my Academy Award.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Do it. Do it.
I'm actually not being funny. I very fairly looked at it and said, this is really good work.
It was good.
This is really... it is a good fucking moment.
It was a beautiful... Yeah. It was a beautiful shot that slowly crept in.
Oh, yeah.
And then when that lady dies, it was crazy because they almost cut her head off with this fucking thing.
This is the craziest.
It
looks like they're gonna chop her head off with a paper cutter, right? They don't. The cloak goes up and hangs her, and then throws her out a window. What? What are you talking about?
It's like
you just succeeded in strangling her with a cloak. Why throw her out the window?
No, the best part then is the next cut is them talking about how she killed herself.
She killed herself.
How?
She hung herself, then threw herself
like, what
out
is
of a window.
What is because she was pregnant, she had to kill herself twice.
Yes.
And by the way...
And then...
fucking terrible. But I will say
I regretted saying it.
But that's what the Canadian medical examiner would probably find.
But there is no medical examiner. There's not even a little bit of detective work.
So many people.
There's no questions.
There are so many dead bodies strewn about this high school.
No one cares.
Nobody's finding.
The
girl got squished in the locker. Yeah.
Where's
justice for her?
Literally says at the end of the movie, the cop literally says, I don't know what we got here. Something strange. That's about the level of police work. Because the other part is, why is the cape hiding its tracks? Like, if she just was hung, why does it be like, I gotta make it look like she did suicide?
Yeah.
Why? You're a cape. You're a magical cape. You can't be arrested, cape.
They didn't even cancel prom. Yeah. Like, so many people got killed. It's like, oh, there's been 7 murders at this school over the last week. Should we cancel prom? Nah, fuck it. Just go.
But at least they say something. They go, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
Anyway.
But with her death, nobody goes, that's kind of strange.
How the lockers crush her like that?
Yeah.
That was weird. It looked like some force of nature made her into like a meat grinder. I mean,
no prom's happening.
That scene, by the way, the naked Terminator scene in that.
That was amazing.
So Mary Lou is back for vengeance in Vicky's body, which is interesting because Vicky is I think they're trying to paint Vicky as being like a very like pure, like virginal character, and then Mary Lou gets in her.
I like the voice you put on when you say pure virginal character.
It's like part of my repertoire of
character.
Is that
your Vicky voice?
Yeah.
What is it like?
Hi guys, I'm Vicky. My parents and I eat oatmeal in the morning.
Please Photoshop Paul's head onto Naked Vicky's body.
Already did it, bro. Last night.
Did it, bro. Been masturbating to it all day, man.
Love it.
I'm still shocked by your baby comment. I can't get over it. I still.
It's a bad joke, but maybe also the best joke I've ever said.
It's amazing. It's going to stay with me all night.
That might be your comedy zenith.
I think so too. It's going to take me a while to get over that.
The meat slushy that she creates out of that locker. I mean, it's such a weird thing because she's seducing her like best friend, and I think actually her best friend played it pretty well.
Yeah.
That scene again, all the actors
amazing.
Doing a good job.
Amazing, they're all
like
incredible.
She comes in and she's like, "Okay, yeah, I'm sorry we fought." And then like you know, Vicky's like, "Let's make out," and she's like, "Wait, what's going on?"
No, and what's so much weirder is that Vicky isn't exactly like "Let's make out." She just starts first. She kisses her nose, then she kisses her forehead, then she kisses her cheek. She's doing all this like around the face
and
kissing.
It's all like pecs. It's like very friendly.
That I also don't
it's
like.
It's fun. It's like. It's very fun.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
And then the friend gets fucking terrified.
Yeah. And the friend acts like she's going to kill her.
Yeah, and all she did was like kiss her nose and her forehead and her chin.
I
and then she giggled
like
and she tickled her and she went, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
Well, keep it. Charlize.
And I was like, what is the motivation?
I feel one or two of those are okay, but five in a row, you're like, no, this is wrong.
Guys,
this
wait a
wrong.
Minute. Wait a minute, wait
no,
a minute.
No, no, no.
You guys, they're in a shower together.
Thank
there are
you.
No amount of light kisses in a shower that is normal. You're acting as if, like, I don't get it. If my friend wants to give me 4 to 5 light kisses around my face while we're both naked in a shower, what's the big whoop?
I think it's different for girls.
Okay.
By the way, perhaps.
When June and I are in the shower.
3 to 4 kisses is the norm.
Yeah.
It might be like, look, that's too much, but it is not, fuck me, I'm going to die.
Right, but she does die.
She does.
Sure.
She
but
gets her instincts are right.
Don't understand it.
She does run like she runs aggressively away. She's not like, hey, stop. She cuts out that part of it. She's like, hey, what the fuck is going on? She says, oh fuck.
Yeah.
She's out.
I mean, she is fucking terrified.
Yeah, now she did.
But Canadians are modest.
It might be the bush.
It may be her 80s bush. There's a lot of great-looking 80s bushes in this movie.
By the way, that scene was not supposed to be naked. That was the actress's choice.
What?
She was supposed to be in a towel.
That was a bold choice.
According to my notes.
That shit went from 0 to 1,000 real fast. I was like, oh, this movie's like
There's
a little
no
bit horny and it's
kind
of sexual. And they're like, this motherfucker's naked for a whole set piece. It's like, it's...
No, that is the producers afterwards realizing they might have gone a little too aggressive on that and then they told that story.
Yeah, exactly. She asked for it.
She wanted it.
She wanted it.
She was really comfortable with it.
She wanted to be naked for the whole movie.
It was so fucked up. That was like shocking. And also the whole time I was like, this girl kind of looks like my sister. And then I was like, oh, no.
What? Why would you tell
then,
us that?
And then that happened.
Why would you tell us that?
Because it's, you know what? I
keep
like your
that
podcast.
To yourself.
Yeah, it's a bad...
That's private. That's private for you. It doesn't make it less shameful if you share it.
I'm a fan of your podcast, and I thought I would...
He's bringing the good
stories.
I have
a question. Well, how exactly did she die?
Oh, but the meat sushi?
She doesn't. Yeah. Oh, she gets squished?
She's got squished.
Locker squash?
How does she get squished?
Oh, like, the lockers go like, squish. and the door cracks open and like a bunch
like
of like...
a car compactor.
Like a human smoothie pours out of it.
No, I saw that, but I didn't understand.
So I think what happened...
What are her powers?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's just mysterious. Her powers are all the powers, but I think both lockers, what I imagined to happen in there... was that both lockers punctured her head. And then all of her organs came out through the slots.
You got deep into that.
I would like...
That's what I pictured.
I would like there to be just like you to record tracks for horror movies that is just a description of what you think is happening.
That's what I saw.
Now she's using some sort of magical power. The thing that I thought that was a real missed opportunity in this movie was that it was not a 1950s style prom. I thought that could be like a fun throwback prom.
Yeah.
Instead, they made it a dangerous neon prom because people get like bolted with the neon at the end.
A girl gets killed by neon.
No, it is total eclipse of the heart.
Yep.
I wonder what was first, this movie or that video? Can we Google that?
I'm going to Google it up right
it
now.
It is hard to understand,
It's
hard to understand what Mary Lou wants. Because is she coming back to just regain her crown? And why does she come back now, all these years later? Is it just because someone opened that trunk? And if she just...
No one opened the trunk. The trunk just opened.
Bonnie Tyler was first with Total Eclipse of the Heart. When this movie
came out. My money was on her.
Yeah.
Was she just waiting for someone to go down there
it
all
makes
those years?
No
to the
sense.
Prop closet?
But then all she wants is a kiss from the boyfriend.
At one point I wrote, is this a Christian movie?
Oh, interesting.
Because I started to suspect that I was like,
yeah,
I
teen
feel
pregnancy
like Christian
was
values are the thing that are somehow connecting all this shit. Because there's the priest. At one point, he's doing an exorcism to nobody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have the same note.
He never says her name. Of the stuff from The Exorcist just alone.
Just alone in a room.
I thought that the movie could be better if he wanted her back. He's like, that's my love. I want her back. And he was like, weirdly, she wants to be back with the principal, or she kisses him.
Does she, though?
I mean,
is
I guess
that clear?
Who's the protagonist of the movie?
Mary Lou.
The trunk.
So here's the thing. Early on, the priest says she's going to come back and wants to possess your body.
Right.
That's what she says to Billy.
I forgot she wants
to possess Billy's body, but I still don't understand why.
No.
And why didn't she do that right away? Like, why go through
because
the...
Because Billy took her life, and so she's like, I gotta take his life?
But I would say she seems to want... I don't know why she's chosen Vicky exactly, unless it is to get, again, to be prom queen. If that
point,
is the...
But she's not popular. Then why not pick the girl who's the favorite to be prom
queen? Yes, black and red dress.
Yeah,
the prom queen that was very popular was very intimidated.
Blowjob girl.
Blowjob girl.
But blowjob girl was very intimidated by Vicky.
BJG.
There's so many bad movies.
I love that Steven Spielberg movie.
A guy is at a keyboard getting a blowjob. It's such like... And it's so clearly like the nerd who wrote the movie like fetishizing their own shit. And he's like, and he's writing and getting his dick sucked.
Yeah.
The grossest,
this is what happens to guys who write.
Nothing sexier than a fucking nerd at a keyboard just fucking typing away. Finally. Yeah.
The grossest thing about that scene.
Somebody wants me.
The final scene afterwards where she comes back to her boyfriend. He's like, ooh, you're using those mints. Your breath is amazing.
I didn't get that.
Because
her breast. Oh, because she binocled.
She used binocled
before she blew the guy.
Because that's what we do.
That's
when
a Canadian blowjob.
We mint up afterwards.
You mint up, yeah.
My favorite moment
it's called
that
a Manitoba
whole sequence,
menthol.
Oh my God.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when Vicky is in bed and she's looking, or in her room, I think maybe, and she's looking at the picture she's drawn. And then she like looks away and she looks back and it's a picture of Mary Lou now. And it's all different. Like, it's all a different picture. So, I was like, and it's meant to be this like, whoa moment. And I was like, this is corny as fuck, but I still am obsessed with what these people are doing. Everything they're doing is absolutely nuts.
The rocking horse was the craziest thing in the entire world.
The rocking horse's tongue, the rocking horse's eyes, that whole sequence was
yet
erotic.
Again. Everybody is so horny in
that
this
was
movie.
The horny rocking horse.
I mean, that horse is frightening.
That's scary.
Human eyes.
Human-looking fucking eyes.
Demon eyes.
I feel like some collector owns that rocking horse still. Like, but that tongue, and then does she caress the tongue at one point?
Yes. She definitely gives the tongue a hand job.
Tongue job?
Oof. But here's the other thing. I was like, it's just slightly off because a rocking horse that's like possessed can't come get you. It can only just like kind of just rock back and forth in the corner of the room. It's like, unless you go to it, you're pretty safe.
I also thought it was not consistent with the character of the mother that she refuses to buy her a new prom dress, yet she buys her a ginormous
rocking horse,
carousel horse. Yeah.
She knew it was evil. That's why.
More expensive than a prom dress.
Oh, that rocking horse is, I would say, conservatively $3,600.
It was a part of the rocking horse was a part of the $100,000 reshoots. Because when they were shooting the movie, I mentioned it earlier, it was called like The Haunting of Hamilton High. And then
Hamilton is a city in Ontario.
Oh, okay. And then the original producer of Prom Night said, well, we got to buy this movie and make it a sequel to Prom Night. They reshot over half of it, changed the title to make it a sequel. And they spent $100,000 and added that scene in particular. And the writer of the movie did a lot of the directing, and he called Wes Craven and he said, what's the best thing to shoot a teen horror movie? And Wes Craven said, give him a scare, give him a hard-on, and send him home.
Jesus.
And
succeeded.
So, done and done, yeah.
So the
The
reshoot scenes were the locker room scene, the rocking horse scene, and the chalkboard whirlpool.
By the way, that was great. That was a great-looking effect, a great practical effect.
Actually
I love
good.
That.
The best scene was when he knocked his son out with his shoe.
Oh, my God.
So
it
funny.
It was a Capizio jazz shoe.
Yeah, how hard did you have to hit?
The sound literally was just...
Yeah.
And he went flying. Yes. And then when he came back into the movie, he was so bruised.
Bruised up. Yeah.
But the sound effect was literally like...
That guy gets hit in the head twice in a row, too. He's like, hey, what's up?
There's a scene where the teacher, right before the dude blows his... Was it the dude or was it the teacher who burns his genitals on the...
Oh, the teacher.
The science teacher.
Not science teacher.
The teacher who, palms her butt in class.
Yeah, but also walks just Horny behind movie. This kid and hits him so hard on the back of the head. And they put the bigger sound effect on that.
Yeah.
And he's fine. And the other kid is almost dead.
Sugar. And Michael Ironside did it with as though that's a thing he does. Where it's like time to do the old shoe to the head maneuver. Just sit down. Don't worry, cock. Why do you keep finding yourself in these positions, man? I've done that 3 times this
month. By the way, this poor kid has been multiply concussed in the course of the movie every time. Craig or Craig? Keith?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't remember names.
I don't even know who Billy is. You keep talking about a Billy. Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
Becky the whole movie.
I have another question.
Sure.
Did anybody notice the ginormous jugs of milk?
Oh, I did. I wrote this down. Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
How much milk are they drinking?
3 people, and it's just massive jugs.
Wait, I didn't notice the jugs.
When they're eating their oatmeal in the beginning, there's a giant.
Twice. That might be a Canadian thing. All jokes aside,
it was paid for by the Dairy Board
exactly.
of Canada.
They weren't bags of milk, which we do also use in Canada.
We don't mind the meat slushies as long as we can get a container of milk in there. We'll be very happy. All right. Well, then let's talk about the end. The end. Mary Lou is literally inside of Vicky. Spoiler alert. Did not expect that.
I thought
possession was what we were going for, but no.
There's a person in there. There's another person.
There's a person in there wearing her dress from prom.
There's a clothed person
Vicky
in there.
Vicky is at prom in her prom dress, and Mary Lou exits her body in a prom dress.
But comes out in a larva state.
Yes.
She evolves into 1950s. It's so weird. This movie makes so many fucking weird choices.
Well, it does everything. Yeah. It has telekinesis, and it has electroshocker shit. It has a monster come out of someone.
There are times when there are other hands trying to attack Vicky. When she's on the bed, there's hands all over her. Whose hands are those?
Mary Lou.
Are those the horse's hands?
What was the scare there that she's being tucked in too tight?
Don't know.
Is Mary Lou the horse?
I think so.
Because Mary Lou's talking to the horse.
And why is Mary Lou writing? And why is Mary Lou writing backwards on the chalkboard?
Forwards
from her perspective.
Yeah, forwards where she is.
That's so weird,
inside
though.
There.
I know, but that's weird. It's a weird joke.
No, no, that's what I'm saying when I mean, like, there
she's
is no exposition. There are no explainers. They just do everything, and nobody ever says what the rules are. This movie just has it every way.
There's also, one of my favorite parts is when the priest goes to Billy's house, he brings a giant book to read, like, some rules of the church. What book is that?
Probably the Bible?
No, that's not the Bible. That I mean, is like, not a Bible.
I'm going to just throw this out there. The religious book the priest brought, maybe the Bible?
It's this wide. It's
maybe
this
Canadian
big.
Bible?
It's the Canadian Bible. The St. Gord Bible edition. Yeah.
It's
not.
He's also wearing these weird shirts. These weird shirts. It's almost like black and has like this little white collar. Like, what style is that for the priest?
I couldn't figure out. Okay, so Vicky is named prom queen, right? She comes up. Now, she is fully Mary Lou at this point. Mary Lou's taken over her body. Okay, so she's being crowned prom queen. Michael Ironside's back up on the catwalk. Yep. This time he's got a gun.
He's back to the old catwalk. Doing that thing I do where I murder girls on prom night from this catwalk.
Well, the first time it was a villainous thing, and now I think I'm the hero, unclear.
How do I keep finding myself on this catwalk?
Boom, boom, boom. He shoots Vicky. Vicky goes down, okay? She's shot in the chest. She is on the ground. Mary Lou exits her body, like chest burster, like alien style, right? Okay, the whole rest of the movie unfolds. Michael Ironside's kid is by the trunk again. The trunk is like vibrating. He opens up the trunk and Vicky emerges soaking wet.
As though
from
she
where?
The chalkboard world.
From where?
The chalkboard world.
It looked to me like she came from a vagina.
Yes, that's what I wrote. Literally what I wrote.
I also was like, when was she ever...
that bathroom from the beginning.
It was the dirty bath bathroom.
When was she ever wearing this top? When did this come in? Like,
well, we were waiting to see that green prom dress, which we never saw, which I was upset by.
Maybe there are shops in that weird Stranger Things world.
I don't know what it was.
And then you
are... I wrote vaginal goop? Question mark?
And then you're...
I'm not a doctor.
Then you're...
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Your wife must be very happy.
We have no kids. Yeah.
I just want to just take vaginal goop as a thing. That's a real thing we can get behind.
When she comes out in the weird shirt that we haven't seen, like she. Well, I have a whole other thing that I want to bring up. Did you guys notice that she re-records the outgoing message before she leaves to go murder everybody?
I do have it if you want to hear it. Yeah.
Hi, Mary Lou speaking. Sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but I'm busy at the prom. Places to go, people to kill. Don't bother leaving a message. Vicky doesn't live here anymore.
She is fucking thorough.
She's very, she's so thorough that she even goes to the DMV to get a license plate made for the car.
She has a custom plate made, And that takes like 6 weeks to order, conservatively.
She's playing a long game.
Yeah, she was doing a lot of work.
I was impressed by that. I was like, I didn't think
that's
of that.
That's a lot of foresight. Yeah, she had to wait in line. She had to go fill out some paperwork.
The best thing about the license plate is it does not marry Mary Lou, it's also referencing the movie. Mary Lou 2. I guess it's the sequel of her, so maybe it works.
Isn't it Prom Night 2?
Yeah.
It's not Mary Lou. Oh, this is
that's
the
Mary
next
Lou,
one.
But the guy is Mary Lou 2. So I guess maybe it would be really funny, does someone leave their lights on? Mary Lou 2? Mary Lou. Oh, that's me.
Yeah. That's me.
So wait, did anybody think that when she did show up with the shirt that we've never seen, and now we're, the boyfriend is wondering, is this Mary Lou or is this Vicky? And we're, as an audience, we're asking the same question, right? What is the test? How many sugars do you take in your coffee?
Yeah, that stuff will kill you.
That's the test. I did not know that.
Was that said? I literally was like,
in the diner.
That was said 3 hours ago?
It was a really long time
14
ago.
14 pregnant woman murders ago?
I remember the waiter in that diner scene. I don't know if anybody remembers. But he had sunglasses on, and he also, two of them are sitting this way, and instead of going around to drop off the stuff at the table, he slides in and drops off a coffee from the side in the strangest of ways. So I did remember that scene, and I remember saying that.
Maybe they were like, we need somebody to remember the scene. Waiter, do something so stupid that no one will not forget this moment.
Our show is also brought to you by our friends at Get Ready For It, people. They are Black Tux. Here's the deal, okay? Weddings can have 99 problems, but the groom's look shouldn't be one. What's that? It's a reference to a Jay-Z song that just came out. I'm pretty sure that song just came out. That's how topical this ad is. No, seriously, people, what I love about Black Tux is they are helping you look your best, okay? We all know that buying clothing is expensive, especially event clothing. I mean, and sadly, there are no real options out there for dudes or people who want to wear suits and tuxedos. You don't have to be a dude. You can just want to wear a tux or suit. There's no options out there. This is where Black Tux comes in. They have all these amazing stylish tuxes that you can pick from, suits that look great. You try them on. You can try them on at your house in your own comfort of your bedroom, or you can go to one of their many showrooms across the country. Try it on. You're like, yeah, this looks good. I like this. Then you send it back to them, and then a couple days before your event, they send it back to you. You try it on. You say, yep, this fits, and you go. You look stylish as fuck, and then you send that shit back, and you never have to look at it again. It's the best way to go because every event that you go to, you can look great when you're there. They have over 5,000 five-star reviews. You won't find a better rental experience or designs like this anywhere else online, okay? I'm talking quality. I'm not talking one of those tuxes that are sprayed with like Dracar Noir, okay? This is high quality shit, okay? Look good, feel good, try it on before so you don't get like there and like, oh no, it doesn't look good. I ordered it months ago. What am I gonna do? I guess I'll wear this other jacket that I got from Macy's when I was 18 for my communion or my bar mitzvah. No, no, no. The time has come for you to look good. So rent your suit or tuxedo at blacktux.com. Enjoy $20 off with the code bonkers. That's $20 off with the code bonkers. That's blacktux.com, code bonkers for $20 off your purchase.
Oh my goodness. So let's go out to the audience. Let's see what kind of questions that you guys have. Anything that we might have not talked about already or things that, you know, you have questions about. And, you know, because the 50s were so, like, shunned in this film, like, when someone said swell, they were, like, sent packing. I want you to ask your question and present yourself in the most 50s way imaginable. So pretend you're in the 50s, say your name and your question in the most 50 ways possible. Here we go.
Golly gee willikers. When the dad was waking up from a dream, was Mary Lou raping the son in the car?
Yes.
What was that?
All right.
My wife turned to me and said, this looked like Titanic in that moment.
I do have the scene. We could watch it. It is up there. We can kind of examine it if you want to see here.
What's the matter, Norton? Don't you know how to use this thing? Oh, you're turning into a fag trick?
What's wrong with you?
Don't you want to fuck me?
Vicky. Oh.
She is fucking him in the ass, yeah, for yeah, sure.
With that part where she's on top and she goes crazy, I was like, whoa, this whoa is crazy.
I would like it if you are, you know, just here with someone that you're going to have sex with later. Later, without telling your partner that you're going to, just like, get up and scream in their face, don't you want to fuck me? Don't you want to fuck me? Scream it as loud as you can. Right in their stupid face. We're gonna see whose relationship works out.
That's amazing.
Again, he, this actress is
amazing.
I mean, unbelievable. Again, oh, Charlize, no, send her your, yes, Oscar.
Yes, wait, in all seriousness, do you guys remember when she's in the mirror reflected? And it's like when Vicky realizes for the first time and she puts on lipstick.
Yeah.
And then she does something else that's like
a weird obvious cut.
She does her hair. Yeah.
Which is an obvious choice. And then she just kind of looks, and she's gorgeous looking in this mirror. And out of nowhere, she just goes, and yeah, she blows her bangs up.
Yeah.
I lost my shit. I said, what an interesting choice. Yeah.
She's
not a choice I would have ever made.
Yeah.
And she commits.
Yes.
She's great.
I mean, all these actors are doing good stuff, directed well, but I do wonder also in that scene, just to go back to that scene for one moment, he is dreaming about his son getting pegged by Mary Lou.
Yes.
But that makes his brain bleed?
Yes.
Like, he starts bleeding out of his own head. So the thought of pegging is like, oh, God. Like, that's the most painful thing. And it's bleeding from the top, which means that his brain is coming out of its skull from the top. So upsetting. All right, sir, most 50s way ever, your name, your question.
My name is Michael Motorcycle. And so I'm kind of going off of Seth's thing about the Christian theme, but more of a anti-drinking alcohol on prom night theme. So we have at the beginning, obviously, Mary Lou dies after drinking excessively. Then we have the scene with the guy who's tabulating the votes for prom night. And when he's asked what he's going to do on prom, he says, I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to throw up in the can. It's my duty. I'm a teenager. And then also at the end, the popular girl, when she's dancing, she is asked, what are you doing? It seems like you're drunk. And he's like, this guy talks in this weird Eastern European accent. He's like, I drink. I get drunk. So what's the problem?
I literally thought that was Tommy Wiseau's first part. When that happened.
That's kind of the accent I was using right now. Well, yeah.
Sir, you got a Coke Freestyle hat and sunglasses.
A what?
From Coke Freestyle.
What are we giving away?
Coca-Cola Freestyle, the coolest Coca-Cola machine I've ever seen.
What are we doing?
That's
who is
not
that?
A thing.
Are we supporting Coca-Cola Freestyle?
Just the cool-ass machine with 100 different flavors of soda. They're not a sponsor of the show.
Paul, what's happening right now?
I got literally sent 4 boxes of this at my house. I had no idea what to do with it.
So we're just giving it away?
Because I tweeted.
On
I just
the
said,
show?
I tweeted, I like this Coca-Cola Freestyle machine. He's like, we're coming for you.
What does
and
that
then
mean?
I got a 4 so now, boxes. And my kids like are like, machine. What are in the boxes? I'm like, you're not going to like it. And now my kids wear Coca-Cola Freestyle sunglasses.
Sunglasses?
Yeah,
you know the lenses in those are not UV protected.
Oh, I gotta stop them from staring at the sun.
You're letting your children wear cheap, flimsy Coke glasses.
Hey, man, they see all the colors of the Coke rainbow with these babies on.
What?
ma'am, your name, your question, and the 50s way.
What's the haps, Daddy-O? My name's Carla. I just wanted to know why Vicky's mother was... She hated her boyfriend so much. He seemed like a lovely guy.
Yeah. Well,
she hates like a lot of things, that mother.
Yeah, like what was her problem?
Well, because it seemed like they both didn't want to go to college, but they seemed like the most milquetoast people of all time.
No,
they didn't
Paul,
seem...
that family's fucked up.
She knew.
I did think, though, that like the mother was, I mean, so crazy, strict and whatever, but she seemed to be acting as if she had... Mary Lou for a daughter versus Vicky, who seems to be
totally
completely a normal high school kid who seems to be doing fine, whatever is like other than having a boyfriend who rides a motorcycle, but who is otherwise a lovely kid. Like
seemed like a nerd to me.
She just seemed like really hard on her. But then that's to get to the point of like, that's what made I felt like, and I feel terrible. I don't know the woman's name who played Vicky. She gets to be both Vicky and Mary Lou and is amazing in both capacities. And that's why I felt like you should give her your Oscar.
I know. And I think now looking back, I did not get this while I was watching the film, but now looking back, I think I know why the mother hates her so much.
Ooh, I like this.
Because the dad wants to fuck her.
She knew the dad wanted to fuck her. And maybe that Mary Lou was like bringing that to the surface.
Yes.
She's like, I know I'm just using this body as like a vessel, but I'm going to I'm just going to bring this you want to fuck your daughter thing to the surface.
Well, by the way,
and then I'm going to kill all of you motherfuckers.
Yeah. This is the secret all over again. The Duchovny movie we just did. It's just like, it is all incest all the time.
Yeah.
It's deeply unsettling. The thing that... It would only have been made better if when the mother caught them making out, she was like, I knew it.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, I get it. I get what's up.
Jason, you'll be very excited to know there is a baby here tonight. A baby.
Oh, what
is this baby?
What flavor?
She's gorgeous.
By the way, this baby's doing great. There's been a baby here the whole time?
Yes. I had to take her out at the beginning, but she's fine now.
Okay.
My name's Amy. I hope no one slips me an aspirin in my Coke at the dance. And I was wondering if you have any information on the cinematographer. There was a lot of up-the-nose shots that I had never seen before.
Interesting. I don't.
I looked up the DP because I actually thought the movie looked not bad, honestly. He did not shoot a lot of other movies. Unfortunately. I have hired him to do my next film, however. I was a fan. He's Canadian.
Got to support. Got to support.
Got to support.
You got a question here.
See you later, alligator.
I was waiting for that.
And
that was,
my name's Colleen, and I just have, well, two things. One is I just wanted to talk about the really empowering posture stances that we saw in the Terminator Bush scene, and with Mary Lou and her way, like the way she stood, I felt like I owned my power when I watched that. And I feel like it changed me. So
I love it. Did you guys feel that too?
I did.
I definitely did. There's this shot where he's up in the catwalk up there, with his gun looking to shoot her, and Vicky/Mary Lou is standing with her legs just totally like power V position. It's so unsettling and strange, but also very powerful.
I mean, is this a feminist tale?
And, it is.
And there was, I will say, there was something about Vicky being naked in the locker scene that felt more like she was threatening. She was much more scary.
That's why I was obsessed with her being naked, because it wasn't like, ooh, like this is shot to sexualize her necessarily. It was more like, oh my God, she's naked.
Yeah.
And she's...
It felt like... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It felt like to me like that's... It really did feel like that's her possession. Because I don't think we would see this person naked otherwise in this movie. It only is because she's possessed by this murderous person.
And to your point, I think that's why her friend was so scared. Because it was so out of character for her to be naked like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I don't
giving
think
her
she's
gentle
shown
kisses
her bush.
On the head and nose. By the way, there will be a kissing booth outside of Largo on the way out.
Sweet little pecks.
But you do have to be completely wet and naked for the, Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
I'm going to use you as a prop. So okay. Tell me something, Paul. What's your opinion about this film? Wait, we need more. Why don't you check on some online trolls? We're at the shows and with second opinions, Paul's gonna check Amazon. Second opinions. Everybody, second opinions. Second opinions. Paul, could you read some now?
Wait, stay right here. She was amazing. Oh my God. One of the best. There you go. Wow. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. These are second opinions culled from Amazon.com. These are all 5-star reviews. This one's written by KR. After seeing this OG when it came out in the 80s, I'm watching it again in 2017 and totally seeing Mary Lou as a feminist. But she's the bad guy? Too bad. Am I F.U.? Nope. I saw her as an anti-hero back in the day without understanding why I liked her. Now I get Mary Lou's F.U. purpose, but with more dimension. 5 stars. I don't know why the IMFU. I read that a couple times at home and I couldn't get it.
I'm fucked up?
Am I fucked up?
Am I fucked up for saying, yeah. All right, no. Brandon L. Harlow gave this 5 stars and just says, this film is so 80 and so great. I love it when the blonde girl seduces her dad and then throws her mom through the front door.
Please stop. Wow. Abort.
Or when she uses the lockers to squish that other girl. 5 stars. Title, catchy tunes. And then
people are fucked up.
People are the worst.
Oh, the Amazon reviews. Crazy. And this one is just from an Amazon customer. It's entitled 5 stars, and the review is one word: thick. 5 stars. That was written.
Wow.
That was written in 2018. Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 came out in 1987. The taglines were "An Old Flame Returns." 1957, Mary Lou Maloney went up in flames. Now she's back and she's burning mad. And then the budget was $2 million. The opening weekend was $900,000, and it made $2.6 million. So it made its money back. The top three films of 1987, Three Men and a Baby, Fatal Attraction, and Beverly Hills Cop 2. This movie came in 137th out of all the movies in 1987.
It was number three in Canada, though.
However, it beat The Garbage Pail Kids, a movie that we did on this podcast, and it was beaten by The Running Man, Jaws 4, The Revenge, Masters of the Universe, and Over the Top. That is that. And the director put himself in the movie as a small cameo. He's the one who says to the evil girl in the movie, he's like, "What do you think about that, Victoria?" That, do you remember that classic scene? Well, that was it.
Wait, do it one more time and maybe I'll remember.
What do you think about that, Victoria?
No, wait.
Guys, I'm giving you all my characters.
Now do your
tonight.
Virginal demure girl.
What do you think about that, Victoria? Well. That was any clothing thoughts on...
Clothing thoughts? I've got clothing thoughts throughout the movie.
Pants, good pants.
Clothing is dope.
Yeah.
It is great.
This one, I really loved all of the period stuff, both 50s and what was then present.
Yeah,
the 80s era stuff was great.
Except for the brooches, I didn't like that.
Such blousy tops, so many pleats in all the pants. But the Robert Smith looking girl is
she's
Annie Potts of this movie.
She is my hero. I love her.
Avril Harley pointed out that she also kind of shares a similarity with Joan Cusack from Working Girl.
I thought it was Joan Cusack for a second, and I was like, it doesn't add up age-wise, but she had a Joan Cusack vibe.
The hair is amazing.
It's amazing.
That's what my hair looked like in high school.
Not just the girls, but the men have...
Very Flock of Seagulls-y kind of...
There is a teacher with a tight comb-over, but a thick bob at the... I didn't understand it. This was thin and covering baldness, but this was thick and like blow dried. This is impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go down the line. Jason, would you recommend
this million
movie?
Percent yes. Yes. This is a home fucking run movie. And honest to God, we have barely touched it. Yes. There's so much going on in this nonsense that I genuinely believe if you like this podcast, you will enjoy watching this movie. Yes.
I agree. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, here's the things we haven't discussed. The difference between the treasure chest and the gravesite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that is and who's where and what spirits are where and what articles of clothing are where. That's all a mystery. But it's so much fun. 100% yes.
And Seth?
Yeah, I agree. It started a little bit slow. I mean, it starts great, and then it's kind of a long movie. And there was a point where I was like, oh, it's kind of boring. And then I was just like, oh, no, this just went crazy. Crazy for the rest of it.
Basically, from the minute she arrives in the locker room naked through the end is, wild.
It's batshit crazy, yes.
It's wild.
I wrote the word naked in huge letters. I was just like, this is so naked. I didn't expect.
And so naked for so long.
So long. So naked. She's so young.
Very
it's so crazy. Yeah, it was it was truly shocking and unpredictable, which is not easy to find.
And that's the thing, up until that point, the movie is very predictable. Yeah. It's confusing at times, but it's not very shocking. It's very predictable. And then at that point, you're like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
How does this work?
This is crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I in the beginning, I was like, oh, I hope we have enough to talk about for this. And I was like, oh, we got plenty.
Yeah.
Charlize, what do you think?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think this is all across the board. This is a great movie to watch. It was hard to find in the beginning, but you can find it on all the places, especially YouTube.
What was
YouTube.
The ridiculous streaming service that you sent me a link
for? Tubby? Yes.
What was it called? Tubby?
Did you have to watch the commercials?
I watched commercials. Is that Jeffrey Katzenberg's new app?
Quibi. Quibi.
I sent that out. And I have a sneaking suspicion that there's someone who likes this podcast who works at Amazon, because I sent that out and then we announced this movie and all of a sudden it was on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's funny.
How I watched it.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I was nervous that we couldn't find it for a bit and then we found it.
I was psyched to be introduced to Tubby.
Let's talk about this movie. Long shot. I would say four of us are in it, but you guys are primarily
in it. Sorry,
Jason.
Wow. Tough look for my guy.
Most of the audience is in it too.
The baby. The baby is in it.
You guys are
the
baby. You guys are all in this movie?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, wow. Okay, cool. Oh, wow.
And it was just nice to see so many familiar faces there.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just like so many of our friends pop up.
Some of our other friends are in it, yeah. Kurt Braunohler's in it.
Oh, KB? Oh, God.
This is fun. Randall.
Randall
Park is in it?
Yeah, Randall Park's in there.
Oh, God.
Claudia Daugherty, she's in it. She's great.
Oh, COD?
Yeah.
Oh, God. They're all in it?
Yeah.
They're all in the movie with you guys?
It's a really funny movie.
No, it's okay.
Are you still casting?
Yeah, we're still casting.
Are you still casting? Are there parts?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
All right. I'd love to give you my headshot.
Put yourself on tape.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, put it. Yeah.
I'd love to put myself on tape.
Pick your favorite scene. Go see the movie. Pick your favorite scene and then send it to us.
Okay. I will transcribe one of the scenes.
And then maybe we'll replace you with it.
Great. Great.
Please don't replace my little scene. What should we tell everybody about it? I mean, I've seen the movie and it's so incredibly funny and romantic and great. And I feel like it's just a really great movie, and you guys are all great in it.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of have to say that, but it is. But it actually is good, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's great. Amazing cast. Just like everyone.
You know what I like about it, June? Can I just say what I like about it? It doesn't like try to cater to like an audience, like a John Wick 3, like where they're just they're putting people in it just to get asses in the seats. They're just like, they're not gonna dumb down the cast.
Which reminds me of something. Very quickly, you'll be able to not buy a ticket to Long Shot, but buy a ticket to John Wick 3.
The same studio. Money all goes to the same place.
Long Shot, out right now in theaters. It's funny. It's romantic. It's great. It's starring all these people on stage, except for Jason. And then... But
I'm starting to feel bad about this.
You can see Jason in John Wick 3.
John Wick 3! He's got his own poster, for fuck's sake.
Oh, I'm not...
Okay, I feel better now.
I don't feel bad. Just like I missed out on an opportunity to shoot with friends, like a funny, cool movie.
No. Don't feel badly.
You and Halle Berry are really good friends.
Yeah.
HB?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thank you all for coming out tonight. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
That's it, everybody. That is our show live from Largo. Make sure you head to see Long Shot. June is fantastic in it. It's such a good, good movie. Also want to let you know, if you have not signed up for our mailing list yet, please do it. Just go to hdtgminfo.com. And if you want to come out to LA and see us live, you can. We'll be doing a big show on July 13th. Tickets are still available. You can go to hdtgminfo.com for the link to get the tickets. And we'll be sending out more announcements as the time comes. And I also want to let you guys know, we have amazing t-shirts in our store. If you liked David Duke
Duchovny Googling for scientific research in the secret episode, we got a shirt for that. Do we have a shirt for Fryer Fuck? Yeah, we got a shirt for that. We got plenty of shirts, all based on things in recent podcasts. We're trying something new. We're trying something different. So head to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM to check out what's going on. There's always a sale there. So much great stuff. A big thanks to Devin, who recorded this in a brand new setup. Everyone sounding so good in the live show for the first time. We're really killing it. Cody, who produces this show for us at Earwolf. Everybody at Earwolf, but specifically two people who don't work at Earwolf. Avril Halley, for finding our movies and pulling our clips. You can find more of her work at Movie Bitches. Nate Kiley, who I just love. He does all of our research. He culls through the five-star reviews. He's a monster, and he's a brand new dad. Congratulations, Nate. And, of course, Kyle Waldron, who's designing some of our favorite, funniest Instagram images. Such a great guy. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We love to be followed. We love to keep the conversation going. And if you've missed anything from this episode, you feel like we didn't cover something very specific in Hello Mary Lou Prom Night 2, well, the conversation continues next week on our mini episode. Make sure you give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And we could talk about anything in your life. We can talk about the movie or call and tell me your problems. We've been dealing with problems successfully for quite some time now, and I think I'm helping a lot of people. So give me a call. We'll talk to you on our mini episode next week, and we'll also tell you what's coming up next. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you to Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron, Jason Manzoukas, and June Diane Raphael. We will see you next time on the pod. Bye for now.
Hi, everyone. Scott Aukerman here, host of Comedy Bang Bang, a little podcast that is celebrating its 10th anniversary. Wow, 10 years of Comedy Bang Bang. That is incredible. And we did something very, very special for the 10th anniversary episode. The episode is 10 hours long. That's right, 10 hours for 10 years. Wow. Hear interviews with CBB favorites like John Hamm, Weird Al Yankovic, Adam Scott, Chelsea Peretti. They're all there. And wonderful people who have come through the doors like Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, my nephew Todd, so many more. We also have guests ranging from our very first episode with Tom Lennon and Rob Hubel, all the way to new favorites like Rudimentary North and Entrepreneur. So many great people. There's so many great guests on the episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Check it out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.